Well, good evening to everyone. It's good to see all of you here tonight. I hope you come to hear from the Word. And I know we sang some songs in worship, and I appreciate those songs. Those were good tonight. And usually when we have a service, it continues on into the Word of God, and that's where we're going to flow. So I want to ask you something, just share some things here with you. One of those things is I just don't think people like rules much. But everywhere we go, there are rules, even for little kids, and even in our nursery, there's some rules there. Even for adults, there's rules here, and there's rules at our church. There's guidelines in everything that we do, from work to school to our own lives, and some of you even have rules in your own house. That's my chair. You don't sit in it but me. Some of those are like that. If you're as old as I am, there's always the grandfather or the father that had a chair, and nobody sat in that chair. Y'all understand that and know that. We've been there before, right? But I want to remind you tonight that God has some guidelines. He has some rules. He has some commandments tonight. That's what we're going to talk about, a little bit about the Ten Commandments tonight. I want you to turn over to Exodus chapter 20. People don't like rules because people don't like to be told what to do. People don't like rules because they don't like to be in parameters of what they are supposed to do or what not to do. People in general, in the flesh, we like to be rebellious. We like to be in charge. We like to be able to do what I want to do. This is my life. This is my body. I can choose to do with it as I see fit. But I want to remind you that the Bible says that God created everything, from the heavens to the earth, creation, all things, even us. He created all of us. And he gives some guidance. He gives some commandments to his people, to the Israelites, the Hebrews, that he's going to work through. That's his people. He's chosen his people to work through, to later on to expand it all through Christ, through the whole world. But at this moment, God is giving some commandments. These commandments were not to hurt people. They were to help people. They were to bring people closer back to God. They was bringing them into the holy, to keep them from sinning. It was the rules. If we don't break them, and we don't do those things. But I want to remind you, as I begin to go through these, James 2, chapter 10 says, if we've broken one law, we've broken all of them. So we are all lawbreakers. But God knew that. But God wanted to give God, he wanted to give his people these things here, because they needed, later on, we're going to talk about, these people needed to have a fear of God in a holy way. We need to have a fear of God in the holy way, but we don't do that anymore. A lot of us don't have a fear of God in a holy way. Now, I'm not talking about fearing God that he's going to strike you down. I'm not talking about the fear of God that in the way that a lost person would see it. Whereas a lost person will have that fear of God one day, if they don't have it now. But a fear of God knowing that we know who God is. I know my place. I know him. I know who he is and what he's about, and I'm really nothing, but I'm everything through Christ, but I am nothing without Christ. I'm nothing to God. And so he's got these Ten Commandments. And I want to tell you, in many courthouses today, they take them off. But it is exactly what's in the law. These commandments, a lot of these commandments are in even the laws. This is the guide, this is the peace. Even the world jumps on and has used these as guidelines through time. God is speaking, this is with Moses. There's a part here, so Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. Here we go, in chapter 20, verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I want to share that some people do not, they have the idea they want to be out of bondage, but when they get out of bondage, they really want to go back to bondage. Some people really don't want to be free of what they're in bondage to. But God brought the people out of bondage. And if you know your Bible, you remember that they wanted to continue to go back. Somebody wanted to go back and be under bondage with the Egyptians. And here's what it comes down to. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. There is no room for another God in your life. There is no room for another God in your life. There is one that is God. That is Yahweh. That is the Father. That is the Creator. It is God. Thus saith the Lord. It is the Lord. There is no room for another. There is no room for another. But in America, we have this false peace that we don't want, that we don't really care much about the Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, but we care about me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I are going to take care of my life. Well, we're going to find out, we find out that that kind of lifestyle is a mess. And some of you know what that is. When you're in charge of your life, you screwed it up pretty good. There is no room. God puts it in the very first one. You shall have no other gods before you. There is no gods except one. So number one, you shall have no other gods before me. That is the number one. That is number one. This is drawing men to God. And when we draw to God, there's going to be some holy things. There's going to be some holy things. And we can't stand out there in the perimeter. We got to get into it. We're going to see that in just a little bit. But we got to get into being close to God. We shall have no God. We are not to have any gods before the Lord. That's it. No other gods. One. How do you know who, if God is God, who makes the decisions in your life? Who do you seek when you make choices in life? Where do you go when you need help? Where do you go when you are at a crossroads? Some people choose to go down to the drug addict. Some people choose to, tonight the bars are going to be filled. People choose the bar. People choose other things. You'll find out really knowing who is God in your life. You're here tonight on Wednesday night. You've chosen to be in this worship service tonight. There's got to be something in you that's drawing you to God to even be here on Wednesday night when 60% of our church chooses not to be. Number two, you shall not make yourself any carved image. There's no room for idols. That's what these other gods, these little gods do. These idols, these gods, that's what they do. That's what people do. They make them out of wood and straw and gold and silver. They create something so they can see it. He goes on, he says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in water under the earth. And you'll notice that there's a lot. You can start thinking of Greek mythology right out the gate. You can start thinking of Buddha. You can start thinking of Hindu. You can start thinking of all these things where they've created this image. We don't worship. That's not an image we worship. That is a reminder. We can have church without that in here. But that cross is a reminder. But we don't worship that. I don't kneel at that. We don't do that here. These are stumbling blocks. As we've seen all through Scripture and the Old Testament, these were stumbling blocks. And even into, you see it even in the book of Acts, it is stumbling blocks. He says, you shall not bow down, verse 5, to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Sometimes when we read the Ten Commandments, we don't go into the other parts of what it's talking about. And to the third and fourth generation, all the way down the generations, you see how sin kind of wrote, the same sins kind of flow through the same bloodlines? The same addictions, the same things of that sort. But this, what does it say? Of those who hate me. There are people that do not like the Lord. There are people that hate the Lord. They hate the idea of God. How do I know that? Because I see it and I read it. There are those people who do not want the Ten Commandments in school. They don't want the Ten Commandments. They don't want prayer in school. They don't want Ten Commandments in the court. Why does it? Because it reminds the people that what they're doing, there are wrong things. but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So we're not to make any graven images or idols. Number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now, we're not doing any raising hands tonight. We can, many of us can probably say, oh, yep. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Right now, I think it's pretty good to say that we thank Jesus Christ for his salvation. Amen. Even people that don't believe in God curse his name. Did you notice that people that don't believe in anything? They don't blame, they don't curse, or they don't blame any God but God. Nobody throws curses down on Buddha. Nobody throws curses on Muhammad. Nobody throws curses on Hinduism. Nobody throws curses. No, but it is always cursing God. You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, the first four in the Ten Commandments are all about you and God. You and God. You shall have no other gods before you. You shall not make any graven images. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. That's you and God. That's, he puts you and him right there. And then he's going to start talking about life. How you live it. But we are to keep the Sabbath and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. There's something about our Sundays that are just relaxing, aren't they? Just automatic. They're just a little slower. We get a little bit more, we're more tired. If you're not a nap person, if you ever thought about taking a nap, it's usually on a Sunday. This is something that God puts in on that seventh day. Now, I'm not going to argue about if it's on a Saturday or a Sunday. That's not a breaking point for me. But there is a Sabbath. And we are to remember that and to keep it holy. And we go to worship. And when we're done with worship, we ponder upon the things that we heard. We ponder upon the music and the worship. And we pray throughout that day. And we rest. And we put God more in on that day. And we just kind of find times and moments to meditate throughout the day on the Lord. And we can pray. And we do those kind of things. Number five. It's going to be a hard one for some of us. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. Not all of us have had a great father. Not all of us had a great mother. Some of us don't even know who our mother or who our father is. But God calls us to honor them in the best way that we possibly can. But I want to remind you that God knows your situation. But also God expects you to honor. It's about honoring. Do what you need to do. Do what you honor, you do that. You need to do that. And it can get messy. Not every father is, not every father is really a good father. The same thing for a mother. Some of us have had bad fathers and bad mothers, and that's something that I want to remind you, they are expected to do their role. Okay. This part right here is not to be rebellious. That we are to honor them. And then it goes in there and says, "You shall not murder." Shouldn't do that. We don't take a life like that. But I also want to remind you that there's a side point. I use this kind of lightly, but we also can murder one another's spirit. You butcher somebody down enough, you can just murder. They're just done. But we are not to murder. The next one is, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit adultery. Once again, we thank Jesus Christ for its forgiveness of sin. But we are called to be one. When we get married, we're called to one and stay one together. You shall not steal. If it's not ours, we don't take it. We don't self-justify it. We don't take it. It says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. We're not to lie about things against our neighbor. We're not to lie. We're not to do that. Also says, you shall not covet your neighbor's. You don't covet the things. You don't get envy of the things that your neighbor, your friends, and your family have. That just turns your heart all dark. But these commandments are these Ten Commandments that seem so simple, but every one of us, just in these Ten Commandments, we failed somewhere in one of these. And as we said before, in James 2:10 says, if you broke one, you broke all of them. So we're lawbreakers. Now the people heard that, they heard these Ten Commandments. And so here's what happens in verse 18. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. There's a lot going on there. They witnessed the thunderings, boom, boom, lightning flashes, and the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain was smoking. That there is enough to take your breath away. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar. And then they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do you not fear? For God has come to test you. Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. That's what this is set for, that people will not sin. They begin now to know right from wrong. The people today don't want to know. They don't want right from wrong. They want to do whatever, the world wants to do whatever it wants to do with no consequences, with no guidelines and no rules. And it says, so the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. You see, I want to tell you, when you don't want to live the way God wants you to do, it's exactly like you'd be just like the people. You push yourself away from God because you don't want that. You don't want those commandments. You don't want those things in your life because they convict you. They convict us as they convict us that we are doing something wrong, and we don't want to be told we're doing something wrong. The people want to have their sin, and they want to enjoy it. And they don't want anybody pointing a finger at them. And this is why Scripture tells us in the latter days, what is wrong will be right, and what's right will be wrong. And that's exactly what's happening, and you've got to keep your eyes fixed, as the Scripture says, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Because if you take your eyes off of Christ, you're going to find yourself dipping into sin, liking it, and staying there. Because that's what people do. They drift away. They start pushing away. They start hearing things, and they push you away. Because they do not want to be a part of what God is a part of. So they stand far off. But what's it say? But Moses drew near. You have a relationship with Christ. You desire the things of God. You desire to get close to God. You're not going to drift away. You're going to drift to God. You're going to start drawing to God. This is where it comes to your personal relationship with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You're going to find yourself getting to points where you're like, oh, I like everything, but I don't want to go too far. I don't want to go, there's too much of a commitment there. That's asking me to change some things in my lifestyle. That's asking me to do something that I don't want to do right now. I don't want to serve right now. I don't want to do that right now. So I'm going to push away. But then there are those people who are drawing close, and God's beginning to make changes in their life, and sometimes it gets messy. But as we draw closer to God, it's the people that begin to experience a real relationship with God. You can't experience a real relationship with God over there. You have to be up and close into the thunder, into all the lightning, and into all of it, because it is trusting God. It's everything going all over around you, but you fix your eyes on Christ, and you just keep drawing closer to Him. And as you do, you become the real you that God wants you to be begins to come to be. Some of you will have a pivotal moment in your life where you're going to have to decide, am I going to follow God? Or am I going to do my own thing? And some of us will stand afar off. And they'll only have a relationship, a long distance relationship. It'll be that aunt or uncle that you call every so often. You got some things in common, but you're not close. You just talk about the weather. You just talk about who's just passed away. You talked about who had a baby or who got married. But you don't see each other. But when you draw close to God, you can talk about personal things. You talk about things that really matter. You talk about what's going on in your life that's not so good. You talk about some other things. You have a few laughs, and God has a sense of humor, doesn't He? Look in the mirror. He has a sense of humor. Look at the ostrich. He has a sense of humor. And you draw close to Him, and then He gets to reveal, and you get to know His voice. And you understand what His will is for your life. And the closer you draw to God, and even though with these commandments, they're okay to you, you want to live by them. You're not like the rest, but you want to live by them. I want to try to live a holy life before God. I want to live a holy life before God. And when you mess up, and then there's so many more of the, there's so many of these laws concerning animals, relationships, and all kinds of things. It was to teach people right from wrong. And let me tell you, there is rights and there is wrongs. But sometimes the world says there's some rights and wrongs, but I want to tell you, God trumps all rights and wrongs. I think when God said, "You shall have no other gods before me," I think He was serious. And so this group stands off afar, and then He says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to be with me, gods of silver or gods of gold. You shall not make for yourself." God says, "I'm not going to be constrained to a piece of wood. You're not going to bottle me up in some gold image. You're not going to put me in something. You're not going to do that. God is like everywhere. Nothing can hold God. This is all His creation." And I think when you begin to understand that God is in control, politics don't mean a whole lot. What is worth more to a man than his own soul? Nothing. But his soul, or her soul, is the most valuable thing that a person has. And what you do with it is the most important decision that you will ever make. And God says, "You will not make anything and say that I am that." But He says, "An altar of earth you shall make for me." For me. Not of me, but for me. "And you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings. What is an altar? Sacrifice. An altar is a place where you can give praise and thanksgiving, sacrifices for how awesome and you're thanking God for what He's done in your life and how He's taking care of you, and you can do those things. But it's also an altar of an atonement for the sins that we've committed. And so they do that. So they make the altars where they can just give thanksgiving to God and a praise and the good stuff. But also it's a place of tears and brokenness for taking the animal off on the sacrifice and putting it to death and sacrificing as atonement to cover the sin that they committed. What if we had to do that today? We'd be raising rams and sheep by the thousands daily. I always say there wasn't enough lambs to cover my, wasn't enough lambs and sheep and oxen, anything to cover my sins. But here is a group of people that hears what the man of God brings to them, and God is there, and they don't want to really be a part of it. They don't want to hear from God. Let me tell you, that's an awesome place to be when you want to hear from God. What's it going to take? What's it going to take? What's it going to take really for you to get your heart and life right with God? What's it going to take to get this church where it needs to be? Because this church thinks, a lot of them just thinks it's a Sunday morning thing. It's a worship, or it's just in these ministries that we have. I'm telling you, these ministries and the church is nothing if we don't have a relationship with God that is good and right. That we're trying to make it a holy relationship. If we can't get it right here, how can we get it right out there? Where people need to hear the gospel. People need to hear it. I'm telling you, people tonight are going to die across this country, and they're going to be picked up by some people that they never met. They're going to be put on this rolling thing, and they're going to be put into a vehicle, and they're going to be taken so they could liquefy them, all that stuff, and get them prepped up for a funeral. But when they breathe their last breath, I'm telling you, if they didn't know Christ, they are internal damnation into hell. And nobody's preaching, not too many people are preaching that today. There is a hell, and it is on fire, and there are people going there by the masses. And the church cannot stand up and be what it needs to be. To be the light in the darkness, we're just playing around with church. We got to get serious. We got to get serious about who God is in our life. We got to get serious in this church about prayer. We got to get serious in this church about wanting to get out and reach this community. Because I'm telling you, if we don't reach in this community and pluck them out and then share the gospel with them, then nobody is, because I'm not seeing anybody else do it. There's only one church. It's a little church, and they're going around and they're doing prayer pieces through in this community. That's what they're doing, trying to make a dent. And they called me yesterday. How's it going over there? I asked, how's it going over there? Are we making a dent? We're trying to make a dent. We don't know that there's spiritual warfare here, but that don't make us run. We don't stop. We got to look. Everybody is breaking all these commandments. But we have Jesus Christ that we can go to and ask forgiveness of our sins. And the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. But that is not an excuse to live and keep doing and keep breaking them over and over. When we break a commandment, the Holy Spirit will convict our hearts. And when we break that commandment, we break something, we sin, I'm telling you, it should break our hearts. If we broke something, it should break our hearts. And we should get right with God, get out there and start doing and repent from it and start doing what God has called us to do. Not from afar, but up close. Not over there, but right up in the front. I'm telling you, there's a day coming. I want you to know there's a day coming. The Bible says if you're a believer, there's going to be a time when God's going to bring you in. And there's going to be a day where God's going to reward you for the things that you've done. And if you've been playing afar off, I wouldn't count on too much. Now, some people say, I just want to get in. If you got an attitude like that, I almost wonder if you're going to get in. Because if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to want to draw to Christ, not draw away from Christ. And you'll stand there before God, and God will give an account. And God will bless, and God will give to us. What you do now matters for your eternal life. I'm telling you, if we know how... God loves to give. I want you to know, God loves to give. He gave His only Son for our salvation. God loves to give. He's given a lot here. He's given a lot to me in my life. Some of you can say He's given a lot to you, but I'm telling you, it's nothing compared to what He has in store for you in heaven. This is why Jesus says, think of eternal things. Think about eternal things. Store up your treasures in eternal life. Because Jesus knew that's what matters. That's what is everlasting. And we should live that life. Live our life to the best of our ability. Not in our own power, but in the power of Christ. Knowing when I hear and you hear these Ten Commandments, you should say, I know those Ten Commandments. I'm trying to live my life by, not that they give me that. Listen, it's not salvation is not by works. It's not by going by all these commandments. And I'm telling you, these commandments God put down to those that we know right from wrong. They mean something. They mean something. They mean a lot. I'm still trying to live by these. It's just a whole part of the whole relationship with Christ. It kind of comes with the whole package. The whole Bible comes into the package. That in my relationship with God, I'm not to have any other gods or any other. But I don't bow down to no one but to God. Why? Because the Bible says God is a jealous God. There's only room for one God in your life. That is the Father, Jesus Christ. I'm not to make any graven images. I'm not to take the Lord's name in vain. He's a holy God. And I need to live in life, and I need to live it the way that He wants me to live it, so that I'm usable. Even though I'm not perfect, I'm usable. How many of y'all want to be a go-to that God uses? Some people say, I don't want to be that. I don't want to do that. Listen, I don't think you understand I don't think you understand the whole thing about salvation. We should want to be used by God. We should want to be used by the Lord. He doesn't have to use us. Listen, God don't need us. We need Him. And we need Him every day of our life. We need Him every moment in our life. So not only do I need these Ten Commandments to be remembered, keeps me in guidance, but also remind myself through these scriptures that I'm not to be afar off, but I'm not to be close with God. I don't want a long-distance relationship with Him. I want a close relationship with Him. When you're up close, you hear things that those people never hear. They don't even know the voice of God. They're observers. They're in the crowd watching, waiting for a miracle. These people come to these people when they're in dire need. Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? When these people are asking each other to pray, they know. But these people are in desperate need. Because they're not even praying themselves. They want somebody else to pray for them. But then also we find out that God talks about an altar. An altar, a place where we need to get right with God. A place where we need to be thanking God. A place where we get intimate with God, where we show some things with God, and we do these things that we're supposed to be doing. We don't do what they did back then, but we have an altar in our life right now. It could be anywhere. It's where you humble yourself and you seek God. And you remember in your heart, in your mind, in your voice that I'm a servant of the highmost God. I'm coming in under His shadow to kneel before Him, to talk about whatever I need to talk about, whether it's a broken heart or an excited heart or a choice, a decision that needs to be made, or just thanking Him for how awesome He is, or confessing how stupid I was. It's an altar where my heart gets flowed out. It gets poured out. Everything comes out. Everything is visible. Everything comes out on the floor. Everything comes out. And then God does His work. And it's only then that God does His work. When we take Him serious, and we lay our burdens and everything before Him, and we get serious about it. And we say, God, there is no God like You. God, You are my God. Thank You for being a part of my life, but there's parts of my life that are not right. There's parts of my life that I'm having a hard time letting go. There's parts of my life where I'm not seeing You work, and I don't understand it. I know You're here, but there's thoughts that are not good thoughts. Will You help me through that? And you wrestle through that, and you fight through it, and you wrestle through it, and you wrestle through it to a moment where it just begins to get all open. And then you have no more words to say. You don't know what to say. And then the presence of God comes in. And sometimes He doesn't have to say a thing, because the presence of God is that powerful. It is that warm. It is that soft. It is that loving. It is that forgiving. Moments, as I'm sharing what I've just said to you, moments of my past, I flickered in my mind where I was in this spot where I had to be broken, where I was in those spots where I was broken. I had to be in this spot where I didn't know what to do, where I was in this spot. But I'm telling you, in all those spots, what it came down to be the Lord and me and whatever we needed to do, whatever I needed to do. I knew it wasn't anybody else, but it was me and God. Because this is something that I can't fix. Nobody could fix. This was my life. And I needed to have God with me right there and then. I'm serious about my relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't want to live without Jesus Christ. I don't want to live in this world without Jesus Christ. I don't know how anybody can. Living miserable and pain. Don't trust anything. Don't trust anyone. Fear of everything. Hoarding up everything. Man, the people hoarding up guns, hoarding up bullets, hoarding up water, hoarding up food. That old Y2K thing. Don't you think they didn't do it last year too? They just didn't talk about it. Listen, I ain't hoarding nothing here. It's up there. And I think we need to understand and get real with our relationship with God. God was giving these people a moment right here. This is it. I'm giving you 10 right here at the top. I'm giving you 10 right here. This will draw you close to me. But they chose to go far from Him. But Moses drew close to God into the darkness. Not an evil darkness, just I am God. And it was good. But there was a fear that we need to have, a holy fear of God. And it's a righteous fear. It's a holy thing. If you don't understand some of that, go to this. Go to Isaiah chapter 6. Oh my gosh. Can't even look upon God because He's so holy. Praise God that we can. I want to tell you, if God's presence would come down upon here, many of us would just fall on our face, and some of us would say, oh, you just begin to understand. Yes, you know who He is, and you would know it because you're that close to Him. Others would be fearful in this room tonight because they're not right. You're not right with God. And when you're not right with God, you have the other kind of fear that, yes, you should have. Not the righteous fear, but a fear, a deadly fear. But that also is real. These Ten Commandments were not to punish anybody. These Ten Commandments were to bring people closer to God. They were to bring people and their hearts right back with God, that we're going to live differently than the world. We're going to live more, we're going to try to live righteously before the world and difference. And did God know they were going to mess up? Yes, He did. Thank God for His mercies. But when Jesus came, thank God for His grace and His gift of eternal life. We've got to start taking God serious. We've got to start taking Jesus Christ serious. And I'm telling you, we've got to start listening to the Holy Spirit and take that voice of God, His Spirit, and we've got to take it serious. Because there is no God but Yahweh. There's no God but God. There is none other. There is none but Him. Father, as we get ready to close, may Your Spirit speak to each one of us in a way that only You can. And I pray for those that are far off will draw closer. Those that are closer will draw closer. But that each one of us would be at the altar of our own self, to kneel in our hearts, or maybe even here up here tonight, and get our hearts right with You, so that we can be usable for You. And just to get the weight and the sin forgiven by Christ. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.